creation. God has created all of us uniquely. No one in this room look alike or have the same body or mind. God described us in Psalm 147. We are like the stars. Let me see. That's right. We are like the stars in the sky. And he determines the number and calls them each by name. Why did God not create human all the same? Like these people in the slide. Some people just like to make themselves humanoids, robots, programmed to look and act like themselves. They are almost perfect with the implementation of artificial intelligence. So, the creator of humanoids is human, but the creator of human is God. Imagine this. If God created us all the same, we would look all the same height, weight, thoughts, and behavior. And especially if our thoughts are aligned and behave similarly, I assume human would not have conflicts, clearly, because we are all the same. Then the world may be a peaceful place. So do you prefer to live in a world where humans all look and behave like one another? Who want to look like me? So if so, then we are no different from humanoid robots. But fortunately, this is not God's plan. Even in identical twins, you will find some differences. Today's sermon is about how did human culture emerge? What God's culture for human? And because of who we are in Christ, how do we integrate our faith and kingdom culture in the 21st century? So, our sister has just read the passage, so I will not go into it. So, I will just skip the next. This is our topic for today. And this is the verse I think our sister has read. So, I'm just going to skip these two slides and I go straight into the importance. So verse 23, 24, and 25 says, before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. This verse informs us of our faith in Christ. Before faith in Christ, people are to observe the law of Moses, which are from God. In the Old Testament, the law of Moses, or the Ten Commandments, teaches us how to live before God. Hence, this is the foundation of Christianity. However, because of the secularism and human disobedience, God sent his Son Jesus Christ to redeem human sin. Therefore, verse 26 and 27 affirm that human can only be saved through the mercy and grace of Christ, and our faith is in Christ alone. People must undergo radical repentance and be baptized in the name of Christ. Then we are rebirthed and our new identity is as children of God. Finally, in verse 28 and 29, the divine revelation is that all people, whether you are Jew or Gentile, slave or free, or male or female, we are all one in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, the good news is we are Abraham's seeds and heir according to the promise. Therefore, we from nobody, we are now the Abraham's seeds and heir. God's promises to Abraham are extended to us, to all who believe in Christ. We are covenanted between Christ and his people and with one another. This slide shows the map of the 12 tribes of Israel. Israel stands at the crossroad of Europe, Asia, and Africa. Geographically, it belongs to the Asian continent and is part of the Middle East region. After many generations, around 975 BC, Israel was divided into 12 tribes. Some tribes were lost in history. So when Jesus came, his ministry flourished. Even after his crucifixion, Christianity continued to spread across the globe until today. Let's watch the illustration video and pay attention on the time, the period. So at the bottom, you see the arrow shifting slowly towards the 2000 CE. And the color, purple, is where Christianity is spread. Glory to God. It is wonderful to see the expansion of God's kingdom and the vast diversity of culture across the globe. One thing to know that we are all children of God and that being part of his big plan for humanity. Another important thing is to be aware our culture mandate from God. When God created human, what does he want us to do? What does he really want us to do? Anyone in this room? Give it a try. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, after God created man and woman, he blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it." That's what God wants us to do. And that's our culture. As I mentioned, we're going to speak about culture revival today. Let's understand human culture versus kingdom culture and how we, from kingdom culture, landed to our current human culture today. You realize there's a gap and we are responsible in closing it. The word culture meaning to cultivate generally refer to patterns of human activity, socialization, symbol structure that give significant and important to us. At this point, I would like to give credit first to the author of these two books. First, Christ and Culture by D.A. Carson and God, Image and Global Culture by Kenneth Nerfbas. My first point, let's take a look at this slide. I'm going to brief you through according to our movement. So you see that little figure, human is preparing ourselves for the journey with God, with a stick to hold us and support us. So to begin with, what is human culture? Human culture refers to the origin of people, tradition, our behaviors, our languages, our belief system, our social structure, institution, and including those traditional materials and goods that we possessed, passed down from generation after generation. Human culture do not change our identity with God. We are still children of God through our faith in Christ. In the beginning, when God created man in his image, he created male and female. So technically, God only created one man and one woman, representing one race only. Then, how nation and country and nationality were formed? We go back to the Old Testament. The word nation is frequently mentioned in the Bible. It refers to the idea of distribution of land to different tribes and other grouping of the human race. In today's modern world, nations are countries or nationalities or ethnicity. For example, I'm Singaporean. You may be New Zealander or Kiwi, Malaysian, Hong Konger, Korean, British, American, European, etc. The world is open. People travel and migration happen. Nations continue to evolve in so many different ways. And we call that multicultural or cross-cultural, because we will have different ethnicity, married, and then they reproduce a different sets of cultures. In New Zealand, I often heard people addressing others as, oh, she's Kiwi Chinese. Ah, that guy, Kiwi Asian. And, oh, he's Kiwi Indian. Oh, no. New Zealander don't have Kiwi Indian. They are just Indian. Maori address themselves, I'm Maori. You know, if you're European, most people would think that you are European Kiwi. Therefore, you know, so much so that our original race and identity are subtly divided into multicultural and cross-cultural according to how we look like, how we behave, just by the face. But, you know, I come across the third generation Asian in New Zealand. They're often called Kiwi Chinese or Kiwi Asian, but they're Kiwi. They're born here and bred here, you know. So I was like, so that we are locked into our own captivity, just like the Jewish. The Jewish always think that they are the chosen people. They're still locked inside here. So I just hope that our culture is only one race. It's not, I hope. The Bible says so. It's one race. We don't lock ourselves in to relate too closely to our own ethnicity or background or tradition. Then it brings me to the next big question. If we are one race, why are we different? So did God create culture variation? Who we are today, that we look different, we think different, is it God's creation? What do you think? I just want to put you for a little wake-up test. Can I see a show of hand that say, yes, God create culture variation? If you don't put up your hand, I'll assume you say no. So, yes, one. Okay, fantastic. Majority of you say yes. And the answer, I'm on your side. The answer is yes. God created it. Let me remind you the next thing. So from the bottom of the diagram, God's created everything, right? Here today, we are going to establish some information given to us from the Bible. So when God created everything that exists on earth, and they are good, and when human race continue to multiply, and in verse 28, the Hebrew word says subdued it. It is, which means the notion of work. Therefore, God's mandate for human is to subdue, means to work, meaning to look after and care for the earth. We are given the fundamental needs and capacity to serve him and to work on his land, the earth. So serving God refers to worshipping God, making human sacrifices, praying and having intimate relationship with him. Working on his land refers to being creative, productive, innovating, building stuff and supporting one another in caring for earth. All these are kingdom culture given by our Creator God. Unfortunately, this is what happened. as the human race live in the fallen world. Therefore, sin exists. While secularism progressed, humans drifted away from the original concept of God's kingdom culture to human culture. So what have we done? You know, but before I give you that explanation, I'm just going to put you to another test again. Do you know that in the Bible, when multicultural started? Anyone? Okay, let me recall. In Genesis 11, cultural diversity is a result of the sin at Babel, the Tower of Babel. That's where God allowed diversities. So God's solution at that time for diversity, he scattered the people across the earth by location, by land, by language, by variation of human culture. It was not God's original plan, but it was his solution. So diversity is also from God. So by the end of the 19th century, culture began to be used to denote society way of life rather than to subdue the earth. Human transmitted to the original culture mandate into economical system of the world. Human rearranged the entire earth resources in a way to make sense to human culture life. Their desire of power, control, status, material possession and money, and their unfair treatment and method categorizes the rich and the poor, the male, female, young and old, children, and including division of races and colors, etc. So by the 20th century, many leaders and authority realized the division. They see the changes in the social interaction includes tension, violence, conflicts, mistreatment and discrimination of ethnicity. Therefore, people started realize that, oh, we're not going to go that far. It's unhealthy. So humans in the 20th century started to communicate multiculturalism and cross-culturalism. Oh, it's good. We've got to, you know, work together. So in the 21st century, as we move further up, the world learned to acknowledge and accept multiculturalism and cross-culture are inevitable trajectory of culture itself. These are good things. People found ways of intercultural and drawing rich wisdom from various cultures. I remember when I was young, I lived in a village in Singapore. When the Muslim or the Malay married the Chinese, it became a big problem. They would be kicked out of the family. And then they call them Peranakan, and then they will run away to Malaysia and live there because that's the larger Muslim community. And then if I'm a Chinese, I married an Ang Mo, the white guy, I also be kicked out of the house. Even Japanese, you know. So Japanese and Singaporean cannot marry together because they invade our Singapore. You know, they torture women. All this comes in. But I'm so grateful today that we see a lot of cross-culture happen. So we understand that. We slowly, slowly understand and accept multiculturalism and cross-culturalism is acceptable. And that is all human because we are originally all in one. So for you, recognizing the recognition of diversity is also one way to see Christ's mercy and grace for humanity. So although all these are necessary and are positive work across the world, but we have somehow lost our way and being blinded from the original mark of God's culture mandated to us. So although we are acceptive and recognize whoever you are, wherever you come from, what ethnicity you are from, but still, we miss the mark. We're still missing the mark, the original mark of the God's culture mandated to us. Therefore, human evolution forces created a gap between human culture and kingdom culture. So my next point is kingdom culture. What does kingdom culture look like on earth? A kingdom culture is a spirit-led, biblical-based and people, embracing every nation, tribes, people and language, committed to worship God and living out kingdom's value. We live to honor and glorify God the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. So let's envision the kingdom of culture will look like on earth. This is how it looks like. One. Okay, there's 6 points. Let's see mentally, you just capture and see how many points you can tick off personally. You don't have to tell me. At least, you know, it's a health check yourself. Okay, the first point. We are all children of God. Do you have that? We are. Do you, in your mind, we are one human race? We ask to serve God and work on His land, the earth. We care for all God's creation, worship, prayer, and glorify God. We are one in Christ. I want to confess one thing. Number four, I didn't do very well because I'm driving a 5-liter car. So I think after this Sunday, I'm going to sell my car and convert to an EV. But EV is so expensive. Yeah, so I'm like... Yeah, I wish I could have read that book earlier. I bought the car in 2016. I wish I could have read the book before 2016. Well, it's too late. I got to correct myself. Well, so do you think we are living in a kingdom culture today? You know, let's look at the world and the world culture today, and even the closest to you, New Zealand culture. What is New Zealand culture? Actually, honestly, I'm from Singapore. I just find that the multiculturalism here are not very robust, isn't it? We're still seeing segregation and segment of different people everywhere, you know? So I'm quite active in a Baptist white church. I call that white church because there's no white here. So keep it to yourself. I mean, that's the best way, easy way. I mean, I'm not racist, but, you know, the way that they do multicultural church is that as long as they have some Asian faces in the church, they call themselves multicultural church. But are they really multicultural? I talked to the pastor. Tell me about your... How do you approach multicultural in the church? Oh, we have... Asian. I said, that's not good enough. I challenge them. How do you convince me of your action in doing interculturalism rather than just having different colors in the church? But how do you actually sit down and understand their culture? For example, I give you a present on Christmas or birthday. The white people will boom, 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 rip it off. And see what you give to them. But for us Asian, we'll keep it maybe the next day or nobody see what we are opening the present, then we open, you know, because... So how do you then communicate that as an interculturalism in the church? And then another second point that I challenged the pastor of that white church was, you know... When you guys travel, you will not buy me present. But when I travel back to Singapore, I bring back gift for you. How is that? He said, yeah, I realized that. I said, yeah, you went to South Island, you come back with not even a fridge magnet for me. I go to Singapore, I got to bring in all the goodies, you know, from Singapore. How do you translate that? So... He obviously he has no answer. I just call him stingy. And I say, I tell you why we do that. For Asian, when we travel, we tend to buy a lot of gift for the family and friends. And never, I mean, buy just a few things for ourselves. And I say, because that little gift, doesn't matter what it is, it represents that while I was away, I was thinking of you. That's it. And also, by the way, I say, please don't come to my house and walk in with your shoe. And he said, yes, I learned that. So we have different cultures. So how would they, how the church actually create this communication about cultural difference, and how could we then share the understanding and practice that? That's the key thing. So if we call ourselves a multicultural church, we got to act. We got to communicate. So what I did was I said, okay, guys, call in all your church leader, small group leader or church leader of a different ministry. Let's have a conversation. So we all arrange a long table, sit there and write down what are the do's and the don'ts. Amazingly, and we put all the information together, we tabulate a list of the do and the don'ts, and we all laugh about it. And from that point onwards, we communicate to the church, and people are able to more relax and talk to each other. You know, by even acting that way, they're able to interact. We recognize our diversity, but we are able to understand. We don't put a transparent wall between us. So that is called interculturalism. We have to implement that, you know, whether we want to be a multicultural church or not. But as a human, the world is open. We need to equip ourselves to that. And we mustn't, a lot of Asian in front of the European think that we are inferior. My parents used to behave that way. My parents used to see a white guy as though they are the boss. And I say, Mom, Dad, we are actually quite smart. Actually, we are smart. It's just that we are not vocal. You know, I think you recognize that the Caucasian, the European, they are more bum, 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 louder than us, right? But for us, we speak in our heart and we act. We are the doer. They are the talker. There's this thing called NATO, you know, no action, talk only lah. You see? So I want to encourage my brothers and sisters and family here. We are the same. Same. We respect each other equally. We are equal. Do not think that we are inferior. We are the same. Okay, coming back to the text. So my final point, how to close the gap? Okay, it is us. It is our responsibility to close the gap as a one human race. How do we integrate our faith and culture closely? So author Kenneth Nerfbus suggested 15 ideas in his book. But today, I'm only going to give you 3 ideas. I've been very merciful. Okay, so these are the 3 ideas. Firstly, okay, but of course, if you want the rest of the 15, write your email on a piece of paper. I'll email all the 15 suggestions to you. But I'm going to give you just 3. Firstly, we are already established the cultural variation are biblical, so accept it and look for ways to be multicultural, including cross-cultural. Implementing interculturalism with friends, family, and the best place to start is your church. And then change your posture. Be intentional and inviting, allowing the lights of the gospel to shine through, uniting all nations to one in Christ. Second point, second idea, is to incorporate the kingdom culture that we mentioned into your tradition, your habits, and your daily life. Everything we do it for God instead of self. Finally, the earth is a God's given resource for our food and survival. The earth suffers with us if human wickedness causes ecological stress to the earth. Therefore, we must pay attention and participate in creation care. Finally, I want to end with reminding you why we must do culture well. Okay, here it is. Jesus ushered God's kingdom culture onto the earth. And God created one human race to culturally diverse by kingdom standard. We are mandated to serve him and care for the earth as it is in heaven. Therefore, it is no doubt that Christ is preparing us for his kingdom in heaven. Christ and kingdom culture is of the past, present, and future. They are eternal, including life after death. And we have been invited to be part of God's kingdom in heaven. And that's why we have to now do the kingdom culture well on earth as it is in heaven. Christ is preparing us for that last lap. So let's close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for your reminder that we are one in Christ and God's culture mandate for us to serve and keep the earth. As we leave this place and return to our regular routine, we pray for your guidance that we will never stray from your path and will not stumble and fall. Lord, we ask that you now and at all time, you will remind us, guide us, discipline us, and help us listen and act accordingly to your words. In Jesus' name, amen.